Hi, Matt here. Before we get started, two quick opportunities for us to interact. This Thursday, February 26th at 8 a.m. Pacific, I'm hosting an AMA, Ask Matt Anything, in our Think Fast, Talk Smart learning community. I'd love to see you there. And also, don't forget to take advantage of our Valentine's Day free Coach Matt AI offering. Join our learning community at fastersmarter.io/learning. Now, a word from one of our sponsors. Their support allows us to bring you quality content free of charge. Hi, Matt here. I recently have done some international travel, and I'm always amazed when people can speak the language of the country they're visiting. So for my upcoming trip, I'll be using Babbel, my go-to app for science-backed language learning. Babbel lets me practice real-life conversation, step-by-step, without the stress. It helps me build the confidence to speak up when it matters, from ordering a coffee or chatting with new friends. However you learn best, by listening, speaking, reading, or writing, Babbel adapts to your style and keeps you motivated with personalized learning plans, real-time feedback, and progress tracking. Right now, Babbel is offering up to 55% off your subscription at babbel.com/TFTS. That's Babbel, Babbel.com/TFTS to get up to 55% off. Rules and restrictions may apply.
One of the fundamental truths about trust is it's about open, transparent communication. My name is Matt Abrahams, and I teach strategic communication at Stanford Graduate School of Business. Welcome to Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Today, I look forward to speaking with Richard Edelman. Richard is the president and CEO of Edelman, a leading global communications marketing firm. Richard is widely recognized for his thought leadership in marketing and PR, and he focuses on issues related to corporate trust, brand reputation, and social responsibility. Edelman produces the highly regarded annual Edelman Trust Barometer, which surveys trust and credibility in various institutions globally, providing key insights for all of us. Welcome, Richard. I am so thrilled that our mutual friend David Demarest introduced us together. Thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
I'd like to start by talking about trust and the findings and applications of your Edelman Trust Barometer. How has the concept of trust evolved in the business world in the last decade or so? And what are some of the key factors driving those changes?
I think trust has become the central proposition for institutions in the last 25 years. And I think the big developments in that period of time are, first, the loss of belief in leaders. Two-thirds of people literally believe leaders lie to them now, business leaders, government leaders, even journalists. The mass class divide, the bottom quartile and the top quartile, have fundamentally different views of the world. The idea that trust historically was conveyed top-down, then 15 years ago, it started to go horizontal to peers, friends, family. And more recently, trust has gone local into my company, my CEO, my company newsletter. And the last big development is that business is the most trusted institution, the head of government, business, and NGOs, because it's the only one both competent and ethical. So those are the four big developments.
The Edelman Trust Barometer has become a significant tool for understanding public trust in general. What advice do you have for individuals or managers who have experienced a significant breach of trust in their personal or professional relationships? How can we effectively rebuild that trust?
Really important that you acknowledge and that you show a path to fixing it. And whether you've picked the wrong creator or whether you have the wrong policy for an airplane that's overbooked, just fix the policy, tell people how it happened, why it happened, and what you're doing to fix it, and show proof that it's fixed. But don't get mixed up in your own knitting and over-survey people. Just decide, do, communicate.
I like that. Decide, do, communicate, and make it clear. And then it sounded also that you demonstrate that you've actually done it, right? So that people see you followed through. I appreciate that. And that helps not just with businesses, but individuals within those businesses. I have noticed a trend. I'd be curious to know if you've seen it, and I'd like your thoughts on it. There seems to be a movement towards leaders needing to be social media influencers, with personal branding becoming increasingly important. Do you see that trend? And what advice do you have for professionals looking to build trust and credibility through their social media presence?
I think for CEOs, it's more appropriate to communicate through LinkedIn, maybe short form YouTube captures of your remarks at corporate events. I wouldn't say that people expect CEOs to do personal branding. They do, though, want to see the person in longer form media that exposes the person's more true self. You have to be willing to go through the ordeal of media, and that way people can get to know you.
And that sounds like what the key advice is that you're sharing, is that you need to allow yourself to show who you are, and you need to find the right channel or media to do that. And it's more than just sticking to sound bites and memes. It's really having a message and at least being perceived to be open to sharing that message. It seems to me that the type of media that people are going to is changing a bit. Are you seeing a shift in the type of media that can help relay trust and credibility? Is there a change that you're noticing?
Edelman's about to put out a report on the conservative media ecosystem. There are a few things that one can notice. One is more frequent posting. B is longer form. And there's multiple levels. One is real personalities. The second is more intellectuals. And then the third is people who cover more forms of media. So in other words, it's almost like lifestyle. It's almost like a version of Good Morning America or something. So it's three levels.
It's interesting to think about a communication strategy that looks at each of those levels. So it might be somebody who's looking to advocate for themselves or build an audience, that they would actually strategically target those different types of media and perhaps their messages towards those types of media. I teach strategic communication, so it becomes a really interesting strategic plan to get your messages out.
Well, it's completely insufficient to just go to mainstream media now. You can't. You have to talk to creators. You also have to talk to this new ecosystem of people who are podcasters and otherwise.
So you're getting the message out is very different than it used to be. And the people who are being successful, I think, understand that. I want to switch back to the obligatory AI question. With the rapid advancement of technology, AI, and as we talked about, the changing media landscapes, what do you see as the biggest opportunities and the biggest challenges for the future of how organizations communicate and present themselves to the world?
I had my AI team actually put in my 20 plus years of blogs, and I've written a blog every week for 20 years, which is in my voice. And a lot of its stuff is talking about trust one form or another. I'm writing a blog about the pandemic and 5 years on, and I put in some ideas of what I want, and you know, ChatGPT helps me in 10 minutes to write the blog. The productivity is stunning. We're still trying to figure out, does it change our organizational structure? Does it change our workflows? All these things.
Are there concerns you have? I mean, you've shared that it can help, and I certainly agree. I use it in much the same way you do. It helps me craft outlines more quickly, and then I can expand on it. Have you personally experienced, or are you seeing in some of the data you collect, some concerns about AI and trust?
It's a first draft of history. Let's put it this way. It should not be your final draft.
I like that. It's a first draft. And I think many of us jump to try to make it a last draft. Drawing on your extensive career and experience, what are some key qualities and skills that you believe are essential for the next generation of leaders when it comes to personal communication, trust, et cetera?
I think you have to be a citizen of the world to the extent that you have the ability to travel, you must. The idea that somehow all concepts emanate from the 50 states is deeply fallacious. I also believe that one must really be willing to expose your thinking to those who have a fundamentally different approach to not just politics, but to how to live. And even at 70, my wife is much more interested in the arts and things like this. So I'm trying to expose myself to Cirque du Soleil and art shows and things, and it makes you broader.
That notion of being a citizen of the world, I think, is a really important one. And I'm glad you're enjoying Cirque du Soleil. I and the teams that I work on always try to find somebody who has divergent or different views from me. And while it can be certainly frustrating at times, I have found that having a devil's advocate makes the work better and makes me better.
We'll be right back to finish our conversation. But first, we're going to take a quick break for a message from our sponsors. These sponsorships support the cost of making our show, allowing us to bring it to you free of charge. Hi, Matt here. Career coaching often comes through our workplaces, which can be a great starting point. But sometimes you want space to focus on your priorities, not your organization's. That's where Strawberry.me comes in. It's career coaching you choose for yourself. You answer a few quick questions, get matched with a vetted coach, and in many cases, you can start within 24 hours. You choose the coach, you decide the goal, and you get to talk honestly about what actually matters, whether that's a promotion, a pivot, burnout, or even leaving. There's no HR involved, no performance review lens, and if it's not the right fit, you can switch coaches. What I appreciate is the sense of agency. When you're feeling stuck, waiting rarely helps. If you've been thinking something needs to change, you don't need permission to explore that. Go to strawberry.me/TFTS. It's coaching focused on you. Think of it as therapy for your career.
Richard, before we end, I like to ask all my guests three questions. One I create just for you, and the other two are similar across everybody I talk to. Are you up for that?
Sure.
If I were to invite you to speak to my class of Stanford MBAs, and said, would you mind helping them understand the importance of trust and what they could do as young and aspiring managers to really focus on trust? What would you share with them?
I went to business school in a time when profit maximization and what was the sort of sole objective of business. I was HBS class of 78, and I remember we had a case on company wasn't doing well, and the sort of guys who were going to go into management consulting were like, just fire half the staff, either that or close the factory. And I think I remember sticking my hand up and going, there may be another way. Maybe we could reduce their wages. Maybe we could train them. Maybe, you know, and I got in quite a pitched battle. And I want your students to have that debate. I don't want them to rush to an answer because there are multiple ways to have a strategy. And you want your employees on your side. And the communications business has been a little rough the last 2 years. We had a huge rush after COVID, and we've had to go through a couple of reductions in staff. And whenever I do this, I explain the complete context. I say, here are the numbers. Here's what I have to do. I hate it. I've held on as long as I could. And I'll do my best to A, give people good severance, but B, give them a good reference. And they'll have always had the experience here. And here's my strategy for turning around. But the broader point is, I want your students to also be recognizing responsibility they have to society more broadly. And it can be done in the context of making money, but business opportunity comes from serving a need.
So what I hear in that answer is a few things. One, it's not finding the easy answer. It's actually engaging and being thoughtful about what's involved. And there are lots of levers to pull in your leadership and in the role you have, and you need to discuss and debate that. And then when you do have to take action, part of trust is being transparent and being empathetic to those who are affected. And I think those are really important lessons for all of us to learn. And I appreciate that. Let me ask question number two. Who is a communicator that you admire and why?
I've always appreciated Howard Schultz, maybe because he grew up poor in Brooklyn and was up to the manor born. He understood, for example, when he came back in 2007, 2008, he had to close the stores and reteach people how to make coffee. The first principles is do what you do well and do it affordably and stop this theory of continuous raising prices and be a good value. And similarly, Hamdi Ulukai of Chobashi, he's got a really strong sense of being an immigrant, and he's employed people from Syria and whatever in his plans. But he inspires people about the value of food and the necessity of, but Howard had the third place for Starbucks, and Hamdi has affordable, good for you food. He's not going to satisfy with less. And they talk in a way that makes you want to follow.
Give me more on that. What is it that they do? So they ask questions or they say things in a provocative manner?
I think they're less provocative and they're more big picture. They're not narrowcast business people, which I think is a weakness often of MBAs because we are taught to be hugely analytical and focused. But in fact, you should be broad spectrum in order to come to solution.
Again, considering multiple perspectives and taking a step back before moving forward. Thank you for sharing that. Our final question. What are the first three ingredients that go into a successful communication recipe?
I think action builds trust. If you don't do something, you can't talk about it. The second is to speak broadly, meaning talk to your employees first and then talk to other stakeholders. So inside out. And then the third is, as there's been dispersion of authority, you have to talk, but then the employees have to talk. It has to be a cadence. And there has to be a broad inclusion of forms of media, again, from creators to podcasters to mainstream. You can start things in social now very effectively and then finish up with mainstream. You can't assume that you should go first necessarily to the New York Times or something. You may be better served with a podcaster or other who gives you popular support.
I like the notion of inside out makes a lot of sense. And then thinking about the landscape and where your message best fits first, and then move to the other types of outlets and media. Thank you for your time and thank you for your insights.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. For more on trust, please listen to episode 156 with Jamil Zaki. This episode was produced by Ryan Campos and me, Matt Abrahams. Our music is from Floyd Wonder, with special thanks to Podium Podcast Company. Please find us on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to subscribe and rate us. Also, follow us on LinkedIn and Instagram. And check out fastersmarter.io for deep dive videos, English language learning content, and our newsletter. Please consider our premium offering for extended Deep Thinks episodes, AMAs, Ask Matt Anything, and much more at fastersmarter.io/premium.
Hi, Matt here. I can't believe that this month is the 6-year anniversary of Think Fast, Talk Smart's launch. As we start the new year, we're excited to bring you even more ways to learn, practice, and grow your communication and career skills. We'll now be releasing 8 episodes a month, coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. For those of you who like to watch your podcasts, we are now posting full video versions of each episode on both Spotify and YouTube. We're moving to a weekly email that shares specifics about the current week's shows and previews what's coming in the future. If you're not subscribed yet, head to fastersmarter.io and hit subscribe. When you do, you'll also start getting our monthly newsletter. Fastersmarter.io is also the place to go for transcripts and show notes for each episode. And under the resources menu, you can find English language learning content for each episode. Speaking of languages, I'm excited to share that a Hindi version of the show is now available. You can get access to our extended Deep Thinks episodes and listen ad-free by subscribing on Apple, Spotify, or at fastersmarter.io/premium. I'd love for you to join us on our Think Fast, Talk Smart learning community, where people from all over the globe are coming together to develop and hone their career and communication skills by taking asynchronous lessons, participating in learning quests, enjoying live author book talks, and getting individual guidance from my AI coach at fastersmarter.io/learning. Be sure to look at our social media channels for our video shorts, frameworks, infographics, and protocols. You can also help us by giving us a 5-star rating and positive review. 2026 is going to be a great year for becoming more confident, clear, and compelling in your communication and career. As always, thank you for your support, and thank you for listening.